authentic Christianity continue to be the theme we're following, and good ministers of Christ Jesus is the mini series I'll be introducing today. When you see a title like that, or a mini series, Good Ministers of Christ Jesus, what does that mean? Does it mean that they are bad ministers of Christ Jesus? Or does that mean that they are sleeping ministers of Christ Jesus? Good ministers of Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord told us, Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. He spent time with them. He spent time with them. They were in the trenches together. They saw him hungry. They saw him in difficult times. They saw him pray. They saw him speak to the Father. They saw him heal people. He walked on water. They saw him being crucified. And then he rose from the dead. He came to them. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you. So, you can see that in those few sentences, you know who a good minister of Christ Jesus is. It's not the pastor alone. It's not the pastors alone. It's not just you. It is authentic Christians who will obey the Lord, who will seek to please him, who will seek to put him first, who will seek to do things the way he has said. As a church, we are not very demanding on time. We don't do digging deep, this digging shallow, doing this, doing that, coming on different times of the week. No. So that you can spend time to pray, interact, and be a good minister. You will soon see that everybody who is a Christian is called to be a minister. Everybody. Nobody is left out. In my life, you know, when you say a good minister of Christ Jesus, you know, tend to talk of, you want to talk about Christ, you want to tell them about Jesus, you want them to be disciples. Or you can use, you want to mentor them, you want to train them. Like Kenny read, the Bible passage he chose, you know, my son, you know, seek to wisdom, hold wisdom, it will help you, it will make your life long. You know, that's the father talking to the son, trying to mentor the son, trying to transfer, you know, to train the son. Training can be physical or spiritual. Okay? Mentoring, discipleship can be physical or spiritual. We'll be talking about the spiritual, but let me talk about physical a bit. Because Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, says, for physical training is of some value. It is of some value. You know, see some young men now, they go to the gym. When you see them from a distance, you know this one has been in the gym. The muscles are just there. Yeah, it's some value. You sleep well. You eat well. No, it's of some value. Say, but godliness has value for all things. Say, all things. Godliness has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present generation, the present life, and life to come. It holds itself. I used to have, you know, an old car. Then the battery, you go to the mechanic, they will sort it out, and then it will hold charge. Godliness holds charge. You know, a battery that doesn't hold charge, you charge it, it will be okay. You leave it for some time, it discharges. It's not a good battery. So it's like physical training. It doesn't, you can't carry on like that. Even the footballers, they're given about 10 years, after which, say a long time, you see Ronaldo being very old, he won't be able to play football. Like some of us know Pele. Pele cannot, is an old man now. I actually watched him play. He came to Benin, and he played in Ogbe Stadium. But now, that's how life is. But godliness holds charge. both for this life and for the life to come. So good ministers of Christ Jesus minister godliness. You can call it discipleship, mentoring, training. You know, I had opportunity to have two people speak into my life. Help me. Let me tell you about the physical. I had a coach called Ron Davis. He took part in one of the Olympic Games. He used to be my coach. He was an excellent coach. He would wake up about 10 miles away, travel to where I am, and get me out of bed. I can still hear his voice now. Wakey, 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 wakey. Then he had white running pants. He didn't used to wear tops. Then I get up, get ready, and go after him. Then he will run ahead. Usually it was about 10 meters. I will run and pant. We were doing it for a long time. Wakey, wakey. Get up and run. After some time, I started getting close to him. After some time, I started beating him. He kept on with me. He trained me. Then one day, I didn't see him anymore. I asked people. Some people avoided me. Some people did not tell me where he was. I was so unhappy. Then I kept on training. I could train. Before going to the meeting on Sunday like this, I would have done 10 miles, 16.6 kilometers. I come in, have my shower. Some people would be just getting out of bed. No problem. I learned how to train on the hill, running down uphill. You run uphill very often, you don't need to go to the gym. Secret. I won't charge you this time. If you take St. Paul's Wood Hill, just go, even slowly at first, you will see you'll be strong, you'll have endurance. Then we went for the national competition. So for those of you who don't know Nigeria is more than four times the size of Britain. Okay? So I went to the national competition and I saw him. I said, Ron. No, I didn't dare call him Ron. Coach, what happened? He said, Tim, I couldn't face you. I got another job. I just could not tell you. Then he said, I've looked at the opposition and I think you won't win this race. I was going to do 800 meters. I said, Coach, I will win for you. Okay. He gave me a gift. I kept it for ages. I think, put my tracksuit spikes inside the container. Then I did the race and I won. I got a gold medal. So, he made an impact in my life, that coach. I didn't see him again. This is a gold medal. Okay? I got it in 1978. Okay? So, he made an impact. He helped me. He trained me. Then, I also had a spiritual coach known as Reverend S.G. Elton. If there is any Christian from Nigeria, if you can ask his pastor, or his pastor's pastor, they will know Reverend S.G. Elton. He discipled both Pearl and I. Every Thursday, we traveled about 10 miles from Ife to Elisha. We sit at his feet. We learn from him. He made himself available to us. We were there, learning. Before the meeting, he will give us the tape for the meeting. He will have preached alone, taped it, duplicated the cassettes, and then he will just give us before the meeting. And word for word, when we all gathered, he trained us. He dedicated our children. He taught us many things. After some time, we brought situations to him. He dealt with them. Then one day, we brought a situation to him, which many Christians have tried to settle. And he used to do like this. His mannerisms. You get some mannerisms of your coach. Why couldn't you solve that problem? Why couldn't you handle that? So then I knew that I too could pray and God will answer. So we then started praying for situations. And God was answering. He spent time training us. I said, you can do it. You can do it in Leeds. You can do it anywhere. You know, you are who God says you are. It's different from who you say you are. What does God say you are? We were happy to take people from Ife to him. He was happy to have us. But lovingly called us. Why couldn't you handle that? I ask you the same question. Why are you a disciple? Are you discipling people? Why are you not discipling people? Why will you pray and God will not answer? Only you and God can answer that. Is it lack of confidence? It's a good minister of Christ. We'll be talking about a true son in the faith. But I just wanted to bring this out. The physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Brothers and sisters, situations of life make it appear at times as if, you know, some of you here, including me, if you ask me now, what has God done for you? I have to quickly think. Because the difficult things tend to go up higher in our estimation. We forget the blessings. We forget the blessings. That's why you just sit down at times. Don't ask God for anything. Just remember what he has done for you. David used that tactic. He only was sent to go and deliver food. And there was this Goliath. David did not go many times. He only went once. And there was this mountain of a human being. So one time I was looking after my father's sheep. A lion came. God heard me, I killed the lion. Another time a bear came, I killed the lion. The God, I killed the bear. The God that helped me to kill the lion and the bear. We get down this one. It's only tall. It's only tall. Lion, bear, who is this one? Talking against the Lord's people. See, David knew his God. That is why, brothers and sisters, it's not about you, it's about God. What does God say you are? Well, you see how your parents love you? Mothers love you? Fathers love you? You see how they love you? God loves you more. He cares for you. He knows the processes in your body. It's what he says you are. It was as if David, his brothers, and the army of Israel were not serving the same God. Because for 40 days, they had been shaking. But David knew his God. He knew that God, I have no plan B, A, plan B, plan C. No, God is my plan one. It's who he says I am. That is why in secret and in public, I open my heart to him, especially in secret. You don't just see when you eat, people don't see you. Most people don't see you. But when you come out exhibiting the energy of the food, people see you. So it's what is inside. What does God say you are? Who does he call you? Let's look at this man, Timothy. Let's look at him. We'll play. There's something coming on now. For us to watch, because we'll be talking and introducing good ministers of Christ Jesus. We thank God for the way, you know, Apostle Paul makes it very clear there about Timothy. We'll be going through good ministers of Christ. We'll be using the book 1 Timothy to, you know, preach our sermons for the next few weeks. But you notice that Timothy was already a Christian when he met Paul. Because Timothy's grandmother brought him up well, and his mother as well. Are you a mother here or a grandmother? I thank God for grandmother there, Josephine, who is incredible in prayer and leading people to Christ, even now. I feel it, I know it, I see her. Okay? You know? But Timothy was brought up by the grandmother and the mother. So when Apostle Paul met him, wow, he saw his passion and he mentored him. Are you changing or you have changed? My brothers and sisters, what Apostle Paul says, I forget what is behind, I press on. It showed that he himself was still changing. Christians don't arrive except they get to heaven. You arrive in heaven. You don't stop growing. Sometime last week, 22nd of August, I turned 50. 50 years since I became a Christian. Or do you think I'm younger? Then, 24 years since I became a pastor. I am still growing. Are you still growing? Or you have arrived? Open your heart to the Lord. There is still work out there. Jesus Christ did not come to die for us, to go back and tell us he will never leave us nor forsake us, for us to just relax. There are people out there. But first of all, you open your heart to the Lord. Lord, I want to be a good minister of Christ. You yourself be a disciple first. Many people complain about churches and different things. We want the pastor, helter-skelter. He's thinking, this side, I preach this way, I choose another set of topics. But are people changing? Are people changing? Some people tell me in King's Church, oh, you people don't talk about money. Why should I talk about money? When what the Lord says about money, giving, is there. If you don't want to obey, I will let you know once during the envisioning. I won't look over your shoulder because you have your reward anyway. But don't turn every other person into hearing sermon about money, giving, giving, giving. If we all obey the Lord, we have no problem. But it's for you to decide what the Lord says, how you will obey the Lord. There are other things. There are souls to be won. And then you teach them. If you are not obeying the Lord in one aspect or the other, what will you teach? Will you be a good mentor? Apostle Paul, that was saying to Timothy, my son, true son in the faith. Apostle Paul didn't marry. He didn't marry. But he knew Timothy was his son. There's much more. Like Jesus Christ did not marry. We're all children, you know, we have been saved by him. You know. So what are you giving even your own children or other people? Who are you influencing? Who are you mentoring? Maybe you don't even let people come close to you. We have a plant in Nigeria. I've not seen it yet. They call it Mimosa pudensa. If you touch it, they call it touch me not. If you touch it, it will fold. If you don't touch it, it's like this. If you just touch it, it will fold. Are you like that? Are you like that? You wonder why we don't have revival? You should check yourself first. And ask the Lord to help you. Go out with the people who things are good, things are not good, things are difficult, they're out. Outreach team. All of us are meant to be doing it. Whether by telephone, or by seeing people, or by being at work, or by being neighbors. Are you an ambassador of Christ? Or you are from the country you are from? This is how we are. Don't forget you have a new country. A new eternity. Your eternity is in Christ. The kingdom, this kingdom, is more than your little country. Wherever you are from. is the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God. Good ministers of Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul here goes on to, if you look at 1 Timothy 1, 1 to 2. Paul says, Paul, writing to Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Say Paul, another one, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He first of all blesses him. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are. Say grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He was writing. Timothy got wonderful letters. Timothy, my true son. My dear son. True son in the faith. They had been in the trenches together. You know who is who. There are not plenty. Sorry, I'm spraying here. They're not plenty. Those who are close. Paul, actually, it was as if he duplicated himself. You will see in a Bible passage that we will read in a short while. He poured his life in mentoring Timothy. Wherever he sent Timothy, he knew Timothy will represent him properly. These people discipline them. These people encourage them. Can you be sent by your boss at work, by your church in the home leader? I cannot go. Please, can you go and see that person? Can I be sent? Can the Lord depend on me? Or how long will you attend meetings before you begin to grow? The Lord wants you to grow as a person, as a member of your family, as a member of the community. You saw what those people put, the small video that you watched. The life in the church to reflect in the community. If you have a country where you have an increase in churches, like this Chipperfield Road to the station, you have about 12 to 15 churches, and then there is no change in the community. You can't even send £5 through some people for it to be £5 by the time they are delivering it. Then it's business. It's not authentic. But are you going to be like that? Jesus Christ died for us. We are called to be good ministers of Christ Jesus. He told his disciples. And as a church, the Lord has told us to be a house of prayer and to make disciples. So what is the Lord assuming? The Lord is assuming that we are already disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Jesus is the object of discipleship. Okay, if a pastor or if anybody is telling you, come to me, no. It's come to Christ. They have to point you to Christ. Apostle Paul saw in Timothy passion for God. Then he mentored him. One of the weaknesses of Timothy was that he saw himself, he was timid. Let me put that word, use that word. He was timid. Timothy said, Paul said, remember, God has given you a spirit of power, of love and self-discipline, of sound mind. So he encouraged him. Do you even put yourself in a place of encouragement? Or you think you've known it all? You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Jesus knows it all. So your pastor should point you to Jesus. Your church in the home leader should point you to Jesus. Who is the pastor? You yourself, you point people to Jesus. But know Jesus first. If not, the Jesus you will be pointing people to will not be the real Jesus. There's nothing like 60% Jesus or 40% Jesus. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, the person I invested in, the person I invested my life in. You know. Let us look at how do we do it in King's Church. We tend to use in our leadership, we tend to use FATSO, the acronym standing for faithfulness, availability, teachability, spirit feed, and obstetrics. That's producing new Christians. If you are a Christian who is authentic, you should be growing in this thing. Are you faithful? How many years will it take to convince you to do things the way the Lord is saying it? After all, we're not doing Brexit. Christianity is not Brexit. We want to leave, we want to remain. No. We have the Word of God. Okay? So we are all reading from the same book, wanting to obey God. So if anybody tells you something that is not here, you know the person is lying. But as you obey God by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be transformed. But are you faithful? You know, are you available? There's no remote control mentorship. You can only do a little bit. You know, if you're a footballer, the coach needs to see you. You have to be in the practice ground. If you're even late to report for training, you have trouble. They may deduct a week's wages. Are you available? Are you teachable? Or is your teacher afraid of you now? They can't talk to you? Like Mimosa Podonta, you will fold. Hey, stop. No, this is what I believe. It's what the Lord says. The Lord says, go and make disciples for me. What does the Lord say about this, about that? But the Lord makes it easy for us to come before Him first, to say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Give me a new heart. Put your Holy Spirit within me, so that I would desire to please you. And then every time you ask God, Lord, check me out. It's not about, you know, reporting somebody. No. So, Lord, check me out. Settle your own with God. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And when Jesus did tell the disciples to pray, he reminded them. He said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. So that any other thing you are saying, you remember that He is holy. You cannot twist His arm to do evil. If we are not reminding ourselves of this, if you don't go to your foundation very frequently, you will see people in churches, a brother or a sister has annoyed them, they want the brother or sister to die. Or so something evil to happen. What? How? Someone only offended you. He hasn't killed you yet. He just said something different from what you are saying that members of parliament are arguing. He just said something different from your point of view. And you are the person. Or you used to do business together. And now you can't work together. That's a nice way to end the partnership in business. Not for you now to be eyeing the person, daggers, arrows, machine guns, and even wanting to throw a grenade in church. As if God will deal with you separately, but that person has to. No. Who are you? Look at what has happened in Bahamas. Just look. There was even a young boy. He was only for a young boy. His wheelchair was there. His brother said he must be dead. Everything destroyed. And do you think we are better than those people? No. Why not? We are here now, we thank God. Just within a short time, everything destroyed. You can't even live in that town. We're not better than them. We are still humans like them. Actually, many of them are wealthier than us. Now, zero. So the greatest thing you have is your faith. That's why Apostle Paul says, grace and peace and love be multiplied to you. Grace and peace. Look, when Jacob wanted to die, in all the things he saw, he called Joseph. He said, God appeared to me. That was the only... That's all you have because you are going, crossing over. It's not community charge, electricity bill, that brother, that sister, that child. No. It's your relationship with Jesus. You're going to be judged for reward or for loss. But Christians, authentic Christians, will be rewarded. That's why we're preaching this series. You open your heart. We used to sing one song in those days. Lord, if it's only you, only one person you want, choose me. Choose me. You can sing it for yourself. You can say it for yourself. It only means your faithfulness to God because God is faithful. Many of us have lived long enough to know that some things we ask God for. We thank God that He didn't give them to us. I didn't ask you to clap, did I? I showed you my medal. Do you know how it feels in those days when the whole stadium is filled with students? All you see is white, brown, white, green, white, purple, yellow school uniform. And then you are first. Everybody wants to talk to you. Everybody. You talk to people, they are grateful. It's like Ronaldo. You see Ronaldo, everybody wants to take a picture of him. Yes. But that does not matter. It's what we have in Christ. Our yieldedness, our obedience, true sons. Apostle Paul had many people, a team of people. There were even some that were working against him. Alexander and Herminius. Are you going to be Herminius, Alexander, or Timothy? Sorry, it just happened to be my name. I'm not talking about myself. Or like Timothy, like Apostle Paul is saying, my true son. In the faith. But that is what matters. Spirit filled. We've done this one. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know? And you can see Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit from every part of the world, they are the same. They get on. Not so? Yeah. They just know. You get at Christians from all over the world who are filled with the Holy Spirit. They just get on. They know they shouldn't be racist. They know that evil is not of God. They know that it's standard. They know that they shouldn't steal your purse. Your wallet, they know that. If the wallet gets missing in churches or back phones, you know that some people have gotten in there that are not right. But if you gather Christians, leave your wallet, you will meet it there. Like some people leave their cardigans and will leave them there because the next Sunday they may pick it up. And some people actually leave their stuff here, so we have a lot of left things. They leave it and forget. Then we'll put it out for some time and then we'll give it to charity. Are you spiritual? Are you, look at the last one, obstetrics, producing new Christians. This bothered me for a long time. When I became a Christian in 1969, there was a phase I could tell people about Jesus and I get my satisfaction. I went out to pray. I preached to two people today. I feel good. After some time, I said, no, that's not what Jesus said. He said, He has chosen me to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. I only spoke to people, they haven't remained. Okay? They haven't accepted, you know. So I prayed again, Lord, please, I want to see this fruit. I'm sowing seed. What sort of farmer will go and plant seed and will not even go there to harvest? I prayed and I started seeing fruit. You know? So you ask yourself, how are you bearing fruit? It's not a condemnation. It's supposed to spur you to say, pray about that prayer. Because some people, when you tell them to pray, say, what should you pray for? There are many things to pray for. Are you bearing fruit? It's not this one world that matters. When people die, they leave everything. Everything. Bank account. Everything. You know? House. Cash. Debt. Whatever, they leave everything behind. If your office is not clean, they won't even allow your relatives to come to your office. They just pack a few things because another person is going to use the office. So it's what we do in Christ and for Christ that matters. Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you to bear fruit. So you pray again, Lord, I've been going to church. It's very easy to think, this is church. No. Church is in the church in the home. This is a worship service, coming together of church, the church in the home. That's what we have here. Your church in the home, do you have drums? Okay. Do you have keyboard? Do you have Sam Ojo coming to play for you? So, that is church. I will tell you more in a short while. This is a coming together. We know how this works. We come, we pray there, we pray together, we worship together, we hear the word. If someone says something from the back, everybody turns. You are not supposed to talk because the only talking is from here. That's not church. When you now gather together in church in the home, everybody can talk. Now, when you discuss this message, you say what you find difficult. People will help you. That's another way God ministered to us to disciple people. Because we disciple ourselves. Your discipleship may be your children discipling you or you discipling them. Or mutual submission, or your wife, or your husband, or your friends, or your church in the home is the most ideal. Brothers and sisters, it's not a one-upmanship like Cain. Two of us. One sacrificed his own. It was accepted by God. I sacrificed my own. It's not accepted. Instead of me to ask God so that I do better next time, I kill Abel. No, it's not like that. Because you are helping somebody, that doesn't make you king. Because someone else is helping you. In that relationship, there has to be humility. Philippians 2. You know, we should be like Jesus, who, although he was God, humbled himself. That word, we have erased it, or we have sidelined it. Humbled himself. Therefore, God exalted him. How much longer will you wait to be humble so that God waiting to exalt you will exalt you? In that relationship, I'm the mentee. I'm the mentor. He's the mentee. When you see me, you get up. You stand at attention. You carry my bag. You carry my Bible. What will you be doing if someone is carrying your Bible? What will you carry? Bible that is not heavy, someone is carrying it. What will you then carry? What will you be holding? No, you have to show that I'm the pastor. You are not. No. Who said that? Where? What sort of Christianity? We are shaping it. If it's like how we think it, that is it. No. We are who God says we are. What does God say about me in His Word? What is he telling me in the spirit? Okay? This matters because we have three voices. Three. Your voice. The voice of the devil and the voice of God. Don't listen to the voice of the devil. That is easy to say, that is bad. What of your own voice? I'm not good enough. Some people actually are very beautiful. They look at the mirror. They say they are ugly. They are not thinking, how do I convince this person? But they just believe. There's a phrase they use now, body dysmorphia. Thank you very much. You see some people muttering it. They don't see what others see. So, but the key is, it's not what you think if you are a true child of God. It's what God says you are. There was this short boy, small boy called David. It was what God said he was that he used to face Goliath. There was Daniel, who said he would not pollute himself. And God honored him. He was looking good. Others were eating food with vitamin K, H, Z. They were eating food from the royal table. He was having vegetable and water for 3 years. He was looking better than them. He had more wisdom than them. Of course, he had God. He had the Spirit of God with him. Whenever they were in trouble, those that were eating nice food, it was Daniel that was eating vegetable and water that was solving it. Because he had God. Who are you going to have? Your voice? You don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. It's who God says you are that you are. Let's read 1 Corinthians 4. 14 to 17, as I begin to round up. Look at what Paul says. Writing to the Corinthians now, not to Timothy. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy. Wow. Imitate me, and sending Timothy to you. My son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. It was as if Paul was going himself. Can anybody say that about me? Can your church in the home leader say that about you? I'm sending you. It's as if you will tell them everything. You know everything. You are faithful in the Lord. They were close. Like I told you of Elton and Timothy and they were in the same trench. If you are in the same trench with someone, that's when you know the person. In difficult times, everybody is good in good times. That's why Sunday service is wonderful. Great men and women, they don't even talk. They say, yeah, the talking is, the worship team sing, you sing, then there's a preacher. That is not church. Real church is where you grow. This is part of it. This is worship, service. I hear the word. But to actually put it in practice, you have to discuss it. I don't agree with it. This, I struggle with this. You can only hear that in church in the home. Look at this one also, Philippians 2:22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. When someone says you have proved yourself, you know that you are up there. You are up there. Been in the trenches together. They know you. It's fire and forget. So that is why it's a church, a big church together, one church. We help facilitate, help the churches in homes so more people will be discipled, questions will be answered. You cannot go to a place and say, oh, they just passed me by. No, you have a group of people who will grow and multiply. That is the church. I want to call all church in the home leaders, please come out and stay with me. Quick. One, two, one. There's also a new church in the home in Gravesend, in addition to the one that Buffalo Bill leads. These are the pastors. These are the pastors. This is the church in the home. God took us somewhere when we started King's Church to pray. And he said, the church in the home is the church. So we were meeting for months on Sunday mornings in churches in homes. On Friday, we'll meet like this. After many months, will not turn it over. Okay? It's like a bird. A bird does not fly with one wing. It flies with two wings. Okay? Church in the home is one wing. Worship service here is another. Both have to go together. You remember in the New Testament, they met from house to house. They also met in the temple square. Serena, please come out here. You look after children, in children's ministry. Please come and join us. So, we thank God. I want to encourage you to attend your church in the home so that you have input. You can talk. You can say, I don't agree with this. Then they will share. We'll bring the Bible and talk about it. And they will pray for you. Oh, I'm struggling with this. But we are the church. Human beings are the church. So you have to go to be blessed. Either you go to be blessed or you go to be a blessing. Either way, you are a blessing. Please, I want to pray for us. Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for King's Church. I want to thank you for the pastors here who look after people, who mentor people, who influence people. Lord, I pray for more anointing for them. I pray, Lord, that you bless them and their household. I pray, Lord, that they will duplicate themselves. They will have mentees who will do well. Lord, I pray that as they seek you, they will find you. They will know your blessings. They will know your touch. They will know your correction. Lord, I pray that each church in the home here will be blessed and will continue to grow. We remember Ade, who is looking at his little side now, and Yabo. We pray that you bless them as well. Lord, thank you. We ask you again for fresh anointing that every member of King's Church will attend church in the home so that they will be blessed and they will be a blessing. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, as they go, give them a round of applause. As I round up, what are the avenues of mentoring and discipleship in King's Church? I've already said it. One-to-one. One-to-one. There are some people you gravitate towards. It may be your spouse. It may be your children. I can't, it's as if I have many people helping me in my household when the children come. About anything. You deal with your children in such a way, or if you've dealt with them in such a way that they cannot say, Dad, Mom, what about this? They can't correct you. You brought them up, you say, keep quiet. No. You will lose out. I've told you this many times before. my children, you know, they will say, Dad, you, that word is not pronounced like that. Say, thank you. This is this, thank you. I get better. I speak 7 languages. I don't speak any very well. So don't laugh at me. I speak more languages than you. Only I'm still getting better. I'm a work in progress, like Ahmed will say. See, so I can communicate with many people. If they are cool, they won't laugh at me. I'll pass on information to them. But I'm still learning. One-to-one, mutual submission and humility. You have not arrived. You have not, just know that. Don't let anybody deceive you. People have been deceiving people forever. They say, oh king, live forever. You tell me the king that you know that has lived forever. But this accent, oh king, live forever. Let this crown be long on your head. Let your shoes, they don't even want you to change your shoes. That your shoes will remain on your feet for a long time. For they forget that you have to change your shoes to another type. One to one. Parents, everybody, mutual submission, be open, because you want to learn. You want to learn. And two, and majorly as a church, as a King's Church, church in the home. Church in the home. If you have not been attending, attend. If there is ever healing in this place, there should be healing in your church in the home. What is this? Where two or three are gathered together in my name is what the Lord promised. Don't put me in trouble for me to start to think that we have to come here before healings take place. Yes, healings will take place here. But two or three in your home, yes. Yes. And finally, the best place to die is in the church. Church in the home or here. You just go from worship to great worship. So, don't say, I have a headache, I can't come. I have this, I can't come. What about, do you think I don't have headaches? Some people, if I say, it's only when I travel you don't see me here, which is rare. You think I don't go through, when it's getting colder now, I feel it as well. I have headache and all those things. No, when I come, I feel that I'm prayed for. You pray for me, I pray for you. You matter. Let us pray.